Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What is the doctrine of blood atonement? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today to discuss this question is my colleague, Eric Johnson. For the past several broadcasts, we have been going through some of the various issues that are found in the Journal of Discourses, a 26-volume set of sermons from various Mormon leaders during the 19th century, primarily Brigham Young and John Taylor, Orson Pratt, people like that, asking the question, what was life like for the average Latter-day Saint living in 19th century Utah? What would they have been hearing back then that most Mormons wouldn't be hearing, of course, today? Because certainly a lot of the things that Mormons were being taught back in the 19th century are not things that they are being taught today. Much of it is, but much of it isn't. But one of the, I think, most horrendous teaching coming from the lips of Mormon leaders during the 19th century had to do with this teaching that has been defined as blood atonement. Now, when you go through the Journal of Discourses, you're going to find a number of references to this. And to many Latter-day Saints, reading the phrase blood atonement, if you just take that word itself, that phrase itself, it probably sounds like it's merely talking about what Jesus did in shedding blood on behalf of sinners. But that's not quite the definition that was given back in the 19th century. Many Mormons, when they read about this, will assume that this teaching merely goes back to Brigham Young. And in the eyes of many Mormons, you know, Brigham Young, he was known for teaching some pretty strange things anyway, and many Mormons would probably just roll their eyes. However, that's really not true. Although not fully defined by Joseph Smith, you can trace this back to Joseph Smith. For instance, in the History of the Church, the Documentary History of the Church, Volume 5, page 296, towards the bottom of the page, you find this reference by Joseph Smith. It was given on March 4th, Saturday the 4th, 1843. And it says simply this: in debate, George A. Smith said imprisonment was better than hanging. I replied, I was opposed to hanging. Even if a man kill another, I will shoot him or cut off his head, spill his blood on the ground, and let the smoke thereof ascend up to God. And if ever I have the privilege of making a law on that subject, I will have it so. That's it. And then it goes on to another subject. But under the subheading, it says this: the questions of currency, because that was discussed before this statement, and blood atonement in the Nauvoo City Council. So there's the phrase being used by the Mormon Church to describe this teaching given by Joseph Smith.
Now, the next year, Joseph Smith is going to run for president. Wouldn't it have been interesting if Joseph Smith had somehow lived and won the presidential election, and how America would have changed, possibly, because here he says that if he had any say, that he would have considered something of this nature.
Yeah, he would be making a law on that subject. Yeah. That would have been interesting. Of course, he never did live through that. He was killed before that time. I don't think he ever had any chance whatsoever of becoming president anyway, but this teaching didn't end with Joseph Smith. We find that it keeps going on, especially through the teachings of Brigham Young. Brigham Young was probably notorious for bringing this up, and many of the times whenever you hear about blood atonement, it goes right back to Brigham Young, although he's not the only one that discusses it. But what did Brigham Young have to say on this on March 16th, 1856?
Yes, on Journal of Discourses, Volume 3, page 247, he said, suppose you found your brother in bed with your wife and put a javelin through both of them. You would be justified, and they would atone for their sins and be received into the kingdom of God. I would at once do so in such a case, and under such circumstances, I have no wife whom I love so well that I would not put a javelin through her heart, and I would do it with clean hands. Now, Brigham Young was polygamous, had many wives, but can you imagine the wife hearing this statement?
I was just thinking about that. You know, Brigham Young comes up and says he wants to marry you, and you're going, I don't know about this. You know, I've got some second thoughts. But here's the thing. Can you imagine a Christian minister ever saying something so horrible as what Brigham Young just said here?
If they did, if you found a quote, some obscure pastor who said something of this nature, it certainly isn't Christianity.
No, and it would certainly be decried by everybody. They would say that is not at all what the gospel is all about. But notice, here's what he's doing. He's saying that killing this person as a result of their sin would actually make an atonement for them.
And a javelin going through would allow the blood to drop.
Mm-hmm. You have to have the blood shed. This is a pattern that we see throughout these teachings. They're always talking about blood being shed. They would atone for their sins and be received in the kingdom of God. Really? In the kingdom of God? What does he mean by that? Is he talking about celestial kingdom? He's not very clear on this.
Especially if she was committing adultery, it would seem like that would negate, if she were to die at that moment, of being able to go to a higher level like that.
You would think so. But let's be serious. Brigham Young was not always consistent. Brigham Young would blurt things out and then later on say something else which seemed to completely contradict what he said earlier. And that's just the way he was. Even Bruce McConkie noticed that. He even noticed that when he makes the phrase, it depends on which Brigham Young we're talking about. And of course, I'm paraphrasing, but still, this is something that Brigham Young taught. Now, you are, let's assuming, you're a 19th century Mormon living in Utah, and you just heard your prophet say that. What is going on in your mind?
And how many men may have heard that that sermon and later found their wife in bed with somebody else? Perhaps there were murders committed in that kind of sense based on hearing that sermon, thinking they were doing a good thing by taking care of her sin.
Well, Brigham Young, in another message, does give the impression that it is doing them a favor. It is doing them a good thing. Now, I don't know of any examples that you have just given. I don't know of any. And that's the one big argument that later on, Mormons will say, well, we don't know of any specific examples of this happening. It just seems to be that Brigham Young is just, you know, speaking in hyperbole, perhaps. But Brigham Young also said, there are sins that men commit for which they cannot receive forgiveness in this world or in that which is to come. And if they had their eyes open to see their true condition, they would be perfectly willing to have their blood spilt upon the ground, that the smoke thereof might ascend to heaven. Did you catch that phrase, folks? That goes back to Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith said, the smoke thereof ascend up to God. So they're using that same phraseology in describing this teaching, which can be traced back to Joseph Smith. Anyway, let me read this again. That the smoke thereof might ascend to heaven as an offering for their sins, and the smoking incense would atone for their sins, whereas, if such is not the case, they will stick to them and remain upon them in the spirit world. I know, when you hear my brethren telling about cutting people off from the earth, that you consider it is strong doctrine, but it is to save them, not to destroy them. This was September 21st, 1856.
It's almost though as if he is in you were going to say Journal of Discourses, Volume 4, page 53, and he's going back, it sounds like to me, purposely to what Joseph Smith had said, because I think that would give it some legitimacy. He'd be able to point back and say, well, this is not just for me. This is from Joseph Smith, which gave it a special authority.
Certainly. Now, on that same day, on September 21st, 1856, what did Brigham Young also say about that?
He says, I do know that there are sins committed of such a nature that if the people did understand the doctrine of salvation, they would tremble because of their situation. And furthermore, I know that there are transgressors who, if they knew themselves and the only conditions upon which they can obtain forgiveness, would beg of their brethren to shed their blood, that the smoke thereof might ascend to God.
Does that sound familiar? Going back to Joseph Smith. Go ahead.
As an offering to appease the wrath that is kindled against them, and that the law might have its course. I will say further, I have had men come to me and offer their lives to atone for their sin. That's in Journal of Discourses, Volume 4, pages 53 and 54.
Now think about it. Even if this was hyperbole, as some will argue later on, that he was just exaggerating, Brigham Young admits that he has people believing him for what he says. And he says there, what? I have had men come to me and offer their lives to atone for their sins? So they're obviously believing him. If a later Mormon wants to say, oh, that was just Brigham Young exaggerating, he never meant that. Well, here you have Brigham Young admitting people are believing him based on the words that he's actually saying. So it wouldn't be really fair to Brigham Young to just assume he was just exaggerating or using hyperbole. They're taking him serious on this.
And remember, we're not saying that the current Latter-day Saint Church believes this.
No.
We're just going back to the 19th century. What would you have understood if you had heard this sermon that was from September 21st, 1856?
Would you say that that's a real prophet of God saying that? I would say no. I would say absolutely not. This man is out of line. He is proving that he's a false prophet by teaching something like this. Brigham Young, on that same day, this is Volume 4, page 54, Journal of Discourses, it is true that the blood of the Son of God was shed for sins through the fall and those committed by men. Yet men can commit sins which it can never remit. The idea that the blood of Christ does not cover all sins? When what does the Bible tell us on that?
1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And this is the difference. Jesus Christ is who paid through his blood. We can't pay for it with our blood.
Exactly. The sad part is according to Brigham Young's own words, there were people that actually believed what he said about this and did not have the faith that the blood of Christ could forgive even the worst of sins. This is what's tragic about the teachings of Mormonism. People fall in line and they listen to what these leaders say and they don't bother to see what the Word of God has to say about this issue.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in Utah to look at the largest inventory of Christian books addressing the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City, located at 1358 South in West Temple, just across the street from Spring Mobile Ballpark. Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding a resource that will help meet your study needs. Now, the store also carries dozens of books that she and her husband Gerald have written over the past five decades. This includes Mormonism, Shadow or Reality. And if you have questions, there is always someone behind the desk who would be happy to speak with you. If you want to go deeper into any issue related to Mormonism, we invite you to visit the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, once again located right there at 1358 South and West Temple. We look forward to seeing you soon.